Hey there, ho there, and welcome to a very special episode of Super Tool Shed, where me and Mark the Engineer are going to talk shop about the Man of Steel. So steel yourselves, because in comes a torrent of hatred from the only man who is capable of such hatred, Mark the Engineer. Mark, you have the floor.
This movie sucked! Because we
that seems to be the prevailing opinion on the internet.
Seriously, we just stopped everything we were doing as soon as the conversation got towards Man of Steel, where I was starting to go off and I could just feel the fuse, and the fuse was getting shorter, and I went, nope, stop everything, let's record, do this shit right now.
We had to stop everything we were doing so Mark could vocalize his unique opinion that this movie sucks.
But you know what? I'm going to turn the tables. Why don't you say why you like this movie so goddamn much? And then we'll go into the hour and a half of why you're wrong.
I wouldn't say that I like this movie so much. My opinion of the movie is like, well, I don't feel like I wasted 2.5 hours of my life. The way that there's so much fucking bilious hatred for this movie, it just seems so alien to me. Like, really? Were we watching the same movie? It's like, you're treating this like it was like Transformers 5. And I don't think that kind of hatred is warranted. I'm not saying that this movie is great. I'm not even saying this movie is good. I'm saying this movie is okay.
Uh-huh. Would you be looking for the word serviceable?
Serviceable to okay, yes.
All right. Fuck you. Fuck your shit. All right, let's... Because I just watched Noah's commentary where he once again holds his brother hostage to explain why it is he hates a movie so much, and he doesn't really make any particularly bad points. Honestly, they're all pretty much the same points that I have, but fuck it, I can beat Noah up. So you know what my biggest problem with this movie is? Superman is not Jesus. Okay, that's all there is to it. Superman is not Jesus. He's not Jesus, and that means that the scholarly opinion of Superman as a Christ figure doesn't quite work.
Because no, it does.
Because it's Zack Snyder having heard that. You know, that scholarly opinion of, well, Superman is a Christ figure, and Ubermensch this, and bullshit that. And he just decided, well, that sounds really smart. I'm going to lace that through my movie with these big fucking billboards of fucking Superman's a Christ figure. And okay. Like, I mean, the nutshell is that the movie is preachy and stupid, and characters act fucking weird. And I mean, you want to talk about shit for convenience sake, or just you know, dominoes stacking themselves up just to get knocked the fuck down, a lack of time, it's cut like shit. And everybody's pretty much saying the same thing. It's like, well, the last 45 minutes of the movie is really good. It's like, you know, when you were told that after the first 25 hours of Final Fantasy 13, the game really opens up, how did you feel then? And why don't you feel that way right now?
Well, my opinion of how that movie was cut, I agree that scene transition needed so much work to be done. Like, there's this one cut where Superman's being held for an interview with Amy Adams and Lois Lane. For some reason, I don't know why. Like, why is Lois Lane in this interrogation room? I don't know why, from a narrative standpoint. But nevertheless, he's with her in this interrogation room, and then BAM! They're in the desert. I mean, the shots even look alike. And if you took an editing class in any time in your life, you know that if you're going to cut from a different camera angle, that the difference in camera angle has to be enough so that it makes visual contextual sense. But that cut was so... The cut to the desert was so much like how the first shot was framed, the previous shot was framed, that it just felt like bamf, teleport to the desert. The editing just kind of made the narrative very choppy. And the narrative itself is choppy to begin with. But again, problems like that throughout the movie still wasn't enough for me to like, oh, this fucking sucked.
You weren't bored? At no point in this movie were you bored, ever.
No, just mildly amused.
Really? So the first 40 minutes were like, nothing happens.
I like the first 40. I like the first 20 minutes because I like the design of the Kryptonian world.
You mean the Kryptonian world that didn't have Brainiac as its central processor? That Kryptonian world?
like there was any chance that we're going to get Brainiac into this film.
It's not a matter of whether or not you get fucking Brainiac into this film. Brainiac is wired into the planet. It's his job.
I know that's his job. But you ask the everyday movie-going audience who the fuck Brainiac is, they're just going to look at you like a stupid monkey. If you put Brainiac in the film, you can't just bring him up and not use him as a villain. So it's better not to even bring him up at all if he's not going to be the villain.
He's wired into the fucking planet, and he's kind of evil. So, like, there was perfect opportunity to just leave him in there and then just leave him as a hanging thread, like, oh, yeah. And Brainiac knew that this shit was going to happen. They had all the numbers from Brainiac, but Brainiac was like, nah, no, nothing bad's going to happen at Krypton when the council asked him. That's all they fucking needed to do, and they didn't do that. They were too busy with their bullshit military coup story and their fucking never-ending story flying dragonfly thing.
Come on, you didn't get a chuckle out of Russell Crowe riding a dragonfly, like in Chrono Cross?
Look, it's not like Neil Patrick Harris riding a shark or something. It's just not fucking cool to look at. And it makes absolutely no goddamn sense in a world where it's like, yes, we have flying craft everywhere. Space travel is perfectly easy. We absolutely have modern transportation. And Jor-El, a scientist, is like, well, I could have the hover car, but I'm going to fly this huge-ass fucking Icarus corollary instead.
Well, you could make the argument that those flying cars would have some kind of distress beacon or a way to track that ship. So if he was trying to sneak into something, might as well go with something biological that can't be traced electronically.
Oh my god. Jor-El needed a pet, is that it?
I'm just saying it's more visually interesting than a starship. I'm just thinking it in terms of visual, like,
that's
something
that's
on the
just
screen.
Convenient. That's just convenient for its own sake. This whole thing was like minute to minute. Oh, fucking shit. Like, I gotta go. You know, like he's not gonna have the foresight to be like, but they can track the car. You know, he had that thing. It was trained. It responded to commands. And it was flying around. Like, and that was the other weird thing, that it came out of the firefight. What was it doing in the firefight?
Dodging. That's the best I can do.
Like, the whole thing was just fucking Falcor bullshit.
Like, the way I looked at that is that if I tried to logicize in a movie like this, this is supposed to be like a popcorn, you know, bubblegum flick. I'm not trying to look for any deeper meaning here. And I will agree with you that the whole Christ, Superman as a Christ figure, was ill-advised and did not need to be in this film. But the difference between my interpretation of that and your interpretation with that is that you took more umbrage with it than I did. Not that I disagree with you, it's just it didn't affect me as much as it did you.
See, here's why it is that you should be pissed, and we're going to put a pin in what you just said. You should be angry because smack in the middle and saturating, dripping off of every second of your fucking summer popcorn flick is crap philosophy and existential bullshit all over the place. Just, this is how a man defines himself, and this is, and these are the lessons that he was taught, and this is the world that he lives in now. And does, like, you know, does Kal-El straddle the line of humanity because of the fact that he was raised on Earth but born on Krypton? And again, I say that this seriously is just Zack Snyder taking a bunch of high-end concepts that, you know, we've all been talking about for years. It's the same thing as fucking, like, did the rebels blowing up the second Death Star, you know, is that, like, really a war crime because there were no dignitaries on it? Shit like that. Like, it's the same conversation, the same type of conversation that we've all been having for years, except it's a fucking moron trying to have that conversation. It's like when you're trying to have a conversation about Picard or fucking Kirk and someone says Janeway. You know not to listen to the Janeway guy. He doesn't know
Birdman.
He doesn't know Star Trek. All right.
I still don't understand what his obsession with Janeway is.
I don't fucking know either, because fucking I don't fuck Dodd. But just generally speaking, when you're talking Kirk or Picard and some asshole says Janeway, you know that guy doesn't know Star Trek. You don't fucking listen to him. And Zack Snyder is that guy. Where you say that Superman is a paragon, that you even go with the fucking Kill Bill thought of that Clark Kent is merely Kal-El's opinion of humanity, you know, frail and weak and clumsy. Like, you could even go with that. He could have gone with that, but he didn't. He went for the highest fucking shelf thought that he possibly could have mustered, which is that Superman's a Christ figure. Let's put a picture of Jesus behind him in one shot. Let's have him fall out of a ship crucifix style, even though he could have gotten out of that gigantic hole in the ship any way he wanted. Immediately after getting out of that movie, I tweeted with the hashtag, "The power of Clark compels you." That's how bad this was.
I get your stance on this argument. I'm saying that I know where you're coming from, and I rolled my eyes through every moment of it, but that did not detract that much enjoyment out of the film. Yes, the film would have been immensely better without it.
All right, then, let's go for the preachiness.
Okay, forget, the preachiness.
Forget fucking bullshit, you know, Jesus Clark. Krypton had a red sun. Red mm-hmm. sun means that your solar system's been around for a while, a long while. The idea of Krypton was that it was just Krypton's time, and that it was a society that outlived its britches. Like, it just genuinely, they lived this wonderful life with no disease and no real war and no strife and no nothing. But the fact is that they had lived without difficulty for so long that when some man comes along, a respected scientist, and says, Krypton is dying, we need to leave. And his idea is, we need to move everybody until we can find another planet to live on. We need to move everybody into the Phantom Zone, where, you know, coincidentally, we keep all of our murderers and criminals. And the council goes, you're a doomsayer. That's bullshit. There is no way we're moving our entire populace to the place where we keep our fucking lynchers and rapists and bullshit like that. That was the idea of Krypton. The idea of Krypton was that it was a combination of, it was just Krypton's time to go, and Kryptonians on the whole were not ready for the idea of there being any sort of trouble. And so it almost smacks of hubris. Like nothing bad can happen to us. We're fucking Kryptonians. Look at our sister planet. It's perfectly fine. They're not getting earthquakes. We're perfectly fine. And it's that irresponsibility and hubris that just led to their downfall. That's the original Krypton. Krypton in this fucking movie is, we ran out of natural resources for energy, so we started mining the planet's core. First off, I don't care how advanced or not advanced you are, the idea of mining straight to the center of the Earth isn't a good idea in anybody's book. So why would a advanced civilization who only has colonies on other planets and outposts and shit like that, why would they mine the fucking home front to death?
Did no one play Dead Space?
Huh.
But I would say the difference in Krypton from, let's say, Richard Donner's Superman versus Superman as it is now, I think that was supposed to be an idea of powerlessness when you have power, like choosing weakness and choosing not doing anything over doing over action. So like the Kryptonian heads of the government, Kryptonian heads of government were presented with this information, but choose meekly to say, like, well, maybe it'll be all right. I mean,
no, there's no meek about it. It's always like, every time they tell the story, it's the exact same thing. Jor-El, you're a doomsayer. You're lucky we don't fucking throw you in jail. It is only by the prestige of your career that we let you go. And that's it. Like, they very vehemently say, you're fucking nuts. And then they try and verify that against Brainiac, who knows the planet's blowing up. And then Brainiac's like, nothing bad's happening here. These are just mild tremors. Nothing bad's going on.
I mean, didn't you look at like the board, like the actors on the board that were just kind of looking at each other like they are worried that he may be right, but then they kind of snap back, like no, like we're not going to do that. So like that would require work.
Yeah, which the way that they play it in Man of Steel, they kind of play them like children. Where you're right, they kind of go like, that would require work, and like seriously, the name dropping of the Phantom Zone is like 2 seconds long. There's no big long explanation as to, you know, we need to move everybody to the Phantom Zone. The fucking council doesn't even go like fuck the Phantom Zone. We're not putting people in there. It's the Phantom Zone. You know, nothing. It's just we need to move everybody to the Phantom Zone as an arc tactic, and just make everybody safe long enough for us to like move everybody somewhere fucking else. They just play it off like, well, that would be work, and this is, you're wrong, Jor-El, you're just wrong.
Exactly, and when you juxtapose that idea with that scene where Clark watches his father die in a tornado, saying, don't do anything, it's the idea that, like, Kryptonians don't take action when there needs to be action. To act for...
No, that was, see, the scene where Pa Kent dies was more of like a man honoring his father despite having the power to help him. That having power does not give you power. That's like, I really wouldn't play that against the fate of Krypton necessarily. Like that was like that scene was just supposed to be like kind of tragic. And I'll admit that every scene that had Kevin Costner in it was fucking amazing. Because he just plays blue collar really well.
He plays blue collar very well, and I almost wish that there were more scenes with Pa Kent, but I understand why he had to kick the bucket.
Yeah, which is always sad when they decide to kill fucking John Kent. It sucks.
But... It sucks, and I will say this, the Kents are portrayed better than any other mainstream film.
Any other mainstream film, yeah, I'd say so. But I'd say that they're like on par with Lois and Clark. But
that's like you can't really compare characterization in a television series than in a film. There's more time.
Yeah, there is more time, and they had more time to have like real characterization and how much the Kents really care for him, and because see the point of letting John Kent live is really to make you love him because he is that blue collar dad that raised another man's child, and then to fucking take him away. You know, and then you feel for Clark like he lost his, you know, he lost his real father. You know, forget his biological father. He lost his real father, and that's...
He lost the only father he knew at the time.
Yeah, that's the bullet that killed him, you know? He can dodge bullets all day, but when your dad dies, it's like, doesn't matter who you are.
Doesn't matter who you are. And I guess when I flash back to that scene, I always... There's like this idea of powerlessness when you actually have power.
Yeah, which I mean that's a common theme in Superman. Fucking, you know, Lois dies in the Justice Lord continuity, and then he becomes bullshit douchebag Superman in Justice. So
the Justice Lord's continuity, is it?
One? Yeah. So I mean, it's a common theme. The idea that you know, with all the power that Superman has, the ability to do just about everything, he just can't be everywhere at once. And sometimes scenario just dictates that can't do shit about shit. Doesn't matter that you're the stick by which all the heroes are measured. Sometimes, you know, you're just not strong enough. Sometimes you're just not fast enough. And I get that. And the Kents serve a proper purpose way better than the fucking Parkers did in fucking Amazing Spider-Man. But still, I don't think that scene was about, you know, comparing that to Krypton, to the fall of Krypton, because the fall of Krypton was just childish fucking bullshit hubris on top of a military coup, which that was just the single funniest rollover coup I've ever fucking seen. When they've got guards goddamn everywhere, and Zod just rolls in with guns and a couple of guys, and he's like, under article bullshit, under the bullshit credo, you're all officially fucking impeached. Kneel before Zod.
Well, maybe my argument isn't so much that's what it was meant, but that comparison was meant to happen, but more along the lines of a continuing theme that maybe Zack Snyder wasn't aware of.
I think it would be giving him too much credit if you tried to say it's like, that was intentional. No, it fucking wasn't. It was just a happy accident. Happy accidents happen all the time.
Just look at Star Wars.
Exactly. So, Yeah, the whole, like, the whole preachiness of that being, like, you know, like, the reason why Krypton died was because of, you know, environmental ignorance. Fuck you. The oil rig scene with the fucking whales. We can use whales! Fuck
you. Okay, the whale... You just know that was John Peters. You know, John Peters wanted to make this Superman film so badly, that's why we got the polar bear, that's why we got, like, big
blue
whales.
Oh, you caught
whale.
The polar bear?
Yeah, I caught the polar
bear.
Oh,
the polar bear! I was like, is he going to razzle a polar bear?
And if you think about it, wasn't the world machine just a big, gigantic mechanical spider?
It was. It was. This was a giant fucking spider.
Exactly. This was the John Peters film that we were promised. This was 15 years in the making, motherfucker.
This is it. This is everything. It's just missing fucking Spicoli.
And it's missing a gay talking robot.
Yeah. No. No, gay talking robot. That's not Brainiac on Krypton. There you go. That's it. John Peters made his Superman film. Round of applause. He got his stupid gay robot, his bullshit polar bear, his giant fucking spider in the third act. That's it. It's over. Can we get to a real Superman film, please? Because you know what? You know what it was? Fucking Peters probably stared the fuck out of Snyder and just went, you know what? Singer managed to get me down because Singer had all the thunder of fucking X-Men behind him, but not you, Zach. Not you. We all know that you can't make a film if somebody else doesn't write it for you. Fucking Sucker Punch sucked. You're gonna do what I say.
You will have a spider in the third act. Can it be a Thagarian snare beast? No!
Like,
you know anything about spiders?
Like, I don't want to see him in the suit. I don't want to see him fly. And I want a giant spider in the third act. Like, fucking John Peters. He's the villain of Superman. That's why there's no fucking Lex Luthor. That's
but it. There is LexCorp.
There's a fucking LexCorp fucking bullshit tanker. Oil tanker. And 2 seconds, blink if you miss it, fucking Wayne Enterprises logo. And I'm just like, what the flying fuck?
Well, they can't. Or here's the thing. They were banking on the fact that maybe this movie's going to tank. Maybe. So they said, like, don't say that this is going to have Batman and fucking Lex Luthor and fuck in an extended DC universe until this movie makes bank. If this movie makes bank, then yes, those little snippets will be expanded upon. That was purely a business decision.
Yeah, and I understand that. Just, you know, try and keep it as you know, within itself as possible. And I totally get that, and I absolutely respect it. But there are just things missing from this world that are just egregious and fucking wrong. For instance, the lack of Jimmy Olsen. Who the fuck is this old dude acting like Jimmy Olsen? Because you know that's what he fucking was. They didn't want to have a little ginger kid being Jimmy Olsen because that's not contemporary. Bullshit, that's not contemporary. Look at Jimmy Olsen. He hasn't changed at all, ever. He's had a few bullshit character moments like Jimmy the Turtle Boy. But
Jimmy getting powers every other day.
Yeah, but you know what? I still think that the best portrayal, like, honestly, Lois and Clark is the fucking archetype of what Superman should be. When you remove the goddamn soap opera bits and you just stick to the stories where it's like Superman punches a dude and the dude goes to jail, Lois and Clark is just it. Fucking Justin Whalen, sad that his career didn't fucking pan out, but he'll always have Jimmy Olsen. Fucking Dean Cain, the most un-American fucking Superman there's ever been. But you want to know what? He is one of the best, you know, on-screen Supermans there's ever been, period. Where you know he's just sitting pretty because he's got like some of the... He just won the fucking genetic lottery in terms of aging well because he's like Japanese and Welsh and all this other shit.
He's Jelsh?
He's like Japanese, Hawaiian, and Welsh or something like that. Just like he comes from a really, really diverse ancestry. And apparently that just means that he lives forever. Like I'm fairly certain at this point that David Bowie drinks his blood on the regular. So
him and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah. So pretty much like he looks like, cause he was on like Jimmy Kimmel and they did this fucking comedy bit and whatever. And you look at him and you see, especially when you see him in Burn Notice and he's fucking like jacked. he's more muscular now than he was when he was in his late 20s. And you're just like, fuck, man, why can't you be Superman?
Because he's too tan.
Jesus.
That's literally the only reason. He's just too tan. All right. With the material presented to him, that was, I forget, Henry Cahill?
Is that Henry Cavill.
Cavill. Henry Cavill was a good Superman with the material presented to him.
See, I'm kind of tired of making this excuse. We made this excuse for Brandon Routh. Now we're making this excuse for Henry Cavill. Maybe the problem is a combination of both, where Cavill, like, I understand that certain lines just don't fucking work. You know, there was no possible way for Dennis Leary to read the line, "Your boyfriend is a man of many masks," in a way that makes sense and sounded really cool and badass and like, I know who fucking Spider-Man is, all right? But...
I was about to say, was that a Rescue Me moment? It's like, oh, wait, no, he was in that bullshit Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. So there was no way for him to read that line in the Amazing Spider-Man and have that work. So I understand that sometimes lines just betray actors. And, you know, sometimes when you're an actor, you can't just, like, haul off to the director and be like, this line doesn't fucking work. Because, you know, you want to get paid. So, and you want to be able to say that you were Superman in a movie. But there's something about Cavill that I just don't like. I don't like the cut of his fucking jaw. I don't like the way that he looks. I don't like, and it's nothing against him as an actor, because as an actor, I'm sure he's very, very good. But if we're talking, like, I mean, if you want to just jump tracks and just talk about fucking acting, what the fuck was Michael Shannon doing?
Michael Shannon saved that movie.
Bullshit.
Are you bullshit. Kidding me?
He couldn't play war grizzled fucking veteran tyrannical dictator, dude. He just fucking couldn't. Like, everybody's going off in the same thing in the parking lot of the theater. Everybody laughed when this moment happened. Spoonie has said it. Twitter is blown up with it. I will fight him! You know, like... and it is, like... I call people flappy-headed assholes all the time. But if you want to talk flappy-headed, Muppet-style performance, I will find him is it! That's the fucking zenith, man. That's the top of Olympus in terms of flappy-headed Muppet performance.
And you know what? I loved it.
I didn't, because I know what you're going to fucking say. Like, it's Zod. He's supposed to be theatrical. He's got the fucking Caesar haircut. He's supposed to be chewing up scenery. Like, no. Not like that. All right? Not like that. Like, if he were fucking screaming it when he was getting encased in ice or crystal... Well, it was fucking crystal. We know it's supposed to be fucking crystal, but it looked like...
They were butt plugs, okay?
But if he were getting, like, assimilated by the crystal and he was just, like, fucking straining at the neck just trying to get his final words out, like, these are the words that I'll be known by. I will find him! You know, like, that would have been better. Not this fucking, like, this, I don't even know what to call it. What do you fucking, you can't call it a childish read. You can't, like, you, but, I mean, I've not seen fucking scenery chewing like that in a while.
I will say that not since Aro from Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
he's the new fucking Sheen. That's it.
And you know what? That is totally fine with me.
No, but Sheen is cute about it. And when Sheen just shows up in fucking Twilight and he's like, I got Underworld under me. I got a bunch of good shit under me. You know, like he's just like.
So, well, here's the thing. Like, in that certain situation, he was general of the entire planet's army. His coup failed. He's going to be blasted off into the Phantom Zone.
Into the Deus Ex Machina zone. We'll get to that.
The Deus Ex Machina zone, as it were. And so, of course, he's going to be a little petulant about it.
There's the word. That's the word.
Petulant?
Petulant.
Yeah, of course it's petulant.
But seriously, dude, like, I mean, he just screwed the pooch on being badass as soon as he read the line like that. And as soon as Snyder said, yeah, that's perfectly fine. Fucking print that. It should have been a line that he was trying to fucking muster his last words and his fucking lungs are getting compressed and his midsection's getting compressed from the compressing crystal. You know, that, like, that's what it should have been, where you almost could hear, like, I will find him, and then, like, the ring, like, and then it just, like, goes over his mouth and then the crystal reverberates. That would have been cool.
I don't know,
cool.
Well, this characterization of Zod just that line read fit, because considering what's the last thing he did, he wasn't winning against Superman. So what does he do? He threatens some innocent lives. He's like, kill me or you let these die.
No,
like
we'll fucking get to that too.
We'll get to that too. But like that sense of immaturity is not used to not getting his way when he's been genetically programmed to be a leader.
No. All right. Look, I don't like this petulant characterization of Zod. Like, I mean, obviously we all still have Terrence Stamp in our heads, you know, fucking Neil. But still, you know, like you could have played Zod in a way where I didn't fucking hate him so goddamn much. Like, you know what? You know who could have fucking played Zod really well and it kind of would have made sense? Because I can swing a cat and give you a better fucking choice for Zod. Fucking Clancy Brown. Not only would he have sounded cool, he would have been fucking menacing, and you're still fucking programmed to be like, the fucking Kurgan is here, you know?
Is he? That's the stunt casting for the next movie. He's going to play Lex Luthor.
I'd pay twice to see that. I would pay, you hear me, Warner Brothers? I will pay double if you make Clancy Brown fucking Lex Luthor. Holy shit. Oh my god.
Just put him in a bald wig and bam, you got it.
Oh, Jesus, I would pay double for that. But him or, fuck man, fucking Henry Rollins still looks really intense.
Henry Rollins.
Henry, dude, I'm still a fan of Henry Rollins and shit, so.
Cause I'm a liar.
Dude, shut up. I would have taken Henry Rollins, because I've even thought about it. Like, who could have stepped into the role of Zod and really made it memorable? Clancy Brown, less Henry Rollins, more Gary Oldman, even though Gary Oldman's a small guy.
Everyone! You're talking about a guy who oversells a line.
Yeah, I know. Fucking, he just can't. Like, between him and Rickman, the two of them just can't fucking do it. And fucking Jeremy Irons, like these are the three names: Rickman, fucking Irons, and Oldman. Where pretty much all you see is scenery chewing. Like they've put in some really good time and they've put in really good performances, but all you can think of is all of their most scenery chewing bullshit roles they've ever had. You know, for Irons, just you know, fucking for fucking Rickman is cut his heart out with a spoon.
I don't know. When I think of Rickman, I don't think of that. I just think of Hans Gruber, and that was kind of an underplayed villain. So,
yeah. But I mean, when you think of those three, you always think the fucking worst. And for two of them, it's fucking Die Hard. So, but yeah, fucking Michael Shannon. I mean, when he gets intense, he just sounds like a petulant child. He doesn't inspire fear. He doesn't inspire goddamn anything. You just kind of want him to shut the fuck up. And well, that's good.
Well, there's always a different kinds of villains out there. There's the villains that inspire fear. Then there are the villains that inspire anger. And I've always felt that there's too many villains that try to inspire fear. There's not enough villains that try to inspire anger.
Okay, but Zod doesn't inspire anger. You just want him to shut the fuck up because he's annoying. And now, let's get to, spoilers, the death of Zod. Bullshit. Bullshit. Superman wouldn't kill a toaster if it said, I think, therefore I am. Period. He would not kill, like, he doesn't kill sentient shit unless it's absolutely unavoidable. And I mean really unavoidable. And a lot of people are having trouble with this whole idea that fucking Zod's got, like, such control of his power. Without having been on the planet for that long. And they already play it up like, oh, well, like the new rush of power is fucking him up when he gets his helmet knocked off. But they show that he's like willing himself into using his power, into controlling his power as it comes. All right, that makes sense. When he's like willing himself to make the X-ray vision stop. Okay, they set that up and then they sandwich it with, you know, I was trained to be the best and blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. I get that. There is no excuse why it is that fucking Clark, while he had him in a fucking sleeper, couldn't have, I don't know, flown away?
Let's see.
You don't think that maybe he could have bore down really fucking hard and just flown away? Because he had no problem standing in the middle of the goddamn terraformer, which, by the way, the atmosphere of Krypton, which is the new fucking kryptonite, was rendering him near powerless, and still he's standing in the beam of the bullshit terraformer, and he flies all the way through it, fucking Christopher Reeve style, and you're like, so obviously he can will himself to muster as much power as he needs by this point in his life, regardless of adversity and adverse condition.
Maybe this isn't so much about, like, him, why didn't he do it? Maybe it's about, like, he didn't think to do it. This is his first out as Superman.
Okay. Superman is still held by a morality that has made him a fucking joke. All right? A joke which is culminated in the phrase, "What's so funny about truth, justice, and the American way?" Superman's morality is ironclad. There are no negotiations and there are no goddamned amendments. He doesn't kill fuckers unless it is absolutely necessary. We are talking 6 billion people necessary. And he just kills a dude over 4 fucks who couldn't get away from a bullshit heat ray by walking along the wall or maybe ducking while the dude's being restrained in a sleeper hold. It was just convenient. They were conveniently scared, and Zod was killed because Zack Snyder couldn't figure out a way to stop Zod.
Because he managed to get every other single fucking Kryptonian in that vacuum space, but Zod is gone.
Yeah. Just couldn't stop him, huh? Just could not fucking stop him. Couldn't be helped. Max Lord, right?
Max Lord.
Like, Max fucking Lord, how do I stop Superman? Kill me. Snap the neck. Wonder Woman goes away in fucking cuffs. That's what it is? That's what fucking has to stop Zod? Really? That's your fucking plan. That was bullshit. And the fact that it's one scene where he's like, "Aah!" and then fucking Lois gives him the copper tone hug, and then the next scene he's perfectly fine.
That's again going back to that, like, that choppy editing. It's like you're not sure how much time has passed since that incident and this incident,
dude.
Because when we cut back to Metropolis right afterwards, like, there's office buildings are fine now after super beings pile drive themselves through 20 of them.
It's unreal. This characterization of Superman as a Christ figure who apparently is Last Temptation of Christ. Is crap.
It's like, I have mixed feelings about that. On one hand, I could see it from, like, and as a beginning Superman, like, he just doesn't have the experience to know that there are other options.
See, and then that's a convenient excuse. You know that it was wrong.
It's like, I know it was wrong from a Superman standpoint.
No matter how old Superman is or how young he is or how green he is, it's never going to come to that. It never comes to that. Darkseid's still breathing. Mongol is still breathing, even though it's through a tube. You know, like, it never fucking comes to that. And yet he had no problem. He couldn't bear down. He couldn't think of another option. He was too busy yelling, and Zod was too busy being fucking childish. Like, never!
Too busy being petulant and childish, and it's like, pounding him ain't going to do nothing. He's just going to keep coming and coming, and nothing on earth can stop him.
Even if he had held him by the neck and just punched him unconscious, I would have accepted brutality like that over him, because we're straight past Zod, and we're right into Doomsday. Fuck it. He had him at the perfect angle. Why didn't you just lobotomize him? Why not? Why the fuck not? It's, what is it, less brutal to burn two holes in someone's skull than it is to snap their neck with the resonating sound of bone cracking that goes on for fucking miles?
Well, how would Superman know where exactly to lobotomize him to make him brain dead but not kill him?
fucking care. I don't know. I don't fucking... Just turn him fucking around and just, like, give him the bear hug and then fly away and then be like, burn! And then right in the fucking brain because it's a frontal lobe lobotomy.
Yeah. So in some ways, that's more cruel than killing him.
Well, yes, it's more cruel than killing him because you're rendering him a vegetable. But it's still, you know, it's still a version of Superman that's not fucking... Because normally, evil Superman just lobotomizes people. It's just what he does. Evil Superman lobotomizes people. He can just, like, lobotomize you from half a mile away. He takes a fucking page out of Darkseid's book, and he doesn't, just vaporize you. He just makes you stupid. All right, fine. Because the Justice League really isn't above making people stupid, apparently.
As been proven many, many times before.
Yeah. So, but snapping Zod's neck, just not really nothing. No, like, oh my God. You know, no, like, not even like a fucking newsreel of like, I can't believe, you know, because you know that there was somebody on the planet that was like, Superman shouldn't have done that. That's our first alien contact. What are other aliens going to think? You know, fucking hippies.
Exactly. That's why that's like the sticking point to me. I mean, if there was one, if you asked me what was wrong with Superman, I mean, the Man of Steel, and you asked me right to my face, name one part of that movie that absolutely needs to change, and I'll say, well, killing Zod.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. I mean, throwing him in the Phantom Zone would have been better. Finding a way to throw him in the Phantom Zone would have been better. Having him bear down and fly away, and then just punch Zod repeatedly in the back of the head until he was knocked out, because that's where concussions come from.
So, the best part of... Well, the way the movie should have ended is they needed to have Zod and Superman fight mano a mano. They needed that to happen. And so, he destroys the ship. Zod's pissed. Meanwhile, you know, Christopher Maloney is still trying to suicide bomb that world machine. So, while that's happening, that's where you have the mano a mano fight. And then it happens, Superman throws him into the gravity well and then tries to save Lois Lane while she's being sucked in too.
Yeah. That would have made much more sense, and it would have temporarily rendered Zod powerless, and then it'd be like, oh look, Phantom Zone projector, fuck your shit. And that's the other thing, there was no fucking Phantom Zone projector. Not really.
Well, there was no way that you could sell the Phantom Zone projector to a mainstream audience. That's way too much technology happening at way too fast.
Well, that's just it, though. They just nutshelled all Kryptonian technology as Phantom Zone technology. So the Phantom Zone fucking propels our ships, and it creates black holes, and it does this, and it does this thing. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, fucking unobtainium. That's all it is. It didn't, like, the movie didn't care how thinly it stretched the word Phantom Zone in terms of what the Phantom Zone does. So that means that they could have sold Phantom Zone projector. They could have. Or they could have just thrown Zod into the black hole. I don't fucking, don't fucking kill him. The fucking black hole just probably led to the Phantom Zone anyway.
So, yeah, and plus, if you're going to do Doomsday, and let's face it, that's going to happen. You need the Phantom Zone projector.
Yeah, because we don't conveniently have a Flash to run him to the last second of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Like, we don't have all the conveniences of a DC universe full of speedsters who can run through time. So, gonna have to say Phantom Zone plus projector one of these days and then make it tangible. But still, I mean, this movie almost seemed to hate Superman. I mean, your original thing was, like, in the trailer, it looks like he enjoys using his powers. And you know what? That's true. It's a less heady version of Superman, and that I can appreciate. You know, like, that was Donner's thing. Fucking, you'll believe a man can fly, and that phrase was about whimsy. That phrase was about wonder. And you got tastes of that in this movie,
which was more than you could say about, you know, Superman Returns.
Yeah, where the powers are a burden, where being Superman is a burden. You know, like, can you hear them? Like, can you hear them screaming? No, like, I can hear them all the time. You know, like,
Oh, fuck you. Like, why aren't you doing anything to stop that, then?
Like, fucking stow it, Bats. You know, just, like, Jesus Christ. there are tastes, touches of a more whimsical, wonder-filled Superman, and that's good. But all this fucking heavy bullshit in the beginning was really bad. The killing of Zod was really bad. Valkyrie bitch was good. I liked her. Yeah.
The Ursa wannabe?
Yeah, I like the Ursa wannabe. I did like how they decided to make big stupid guy not big and stupid, just big.
Just big and doesn't talk much.
Good. Works for me, because that would have just ruined him. I never need to see this movie again. Never. I appreciate the fact that they didn't, you know, string the origin story like back to back and fucking let's waste 20 whole minutes on the fucking origin story. I appreciated that, but the fact that throughout the origin story, it's like Clark is a gift from God, and then Superman is a Christ figure and bullshit. So yeah. didn't enjoy any of that, and I never need to see this fucking movie again. Like, maybe they'll get it better in the next one, but the fact is that the main problem with Superman in Man of Steel is Zack Snyder thinking that if he says big words, he'll sound smart.
And that's always been Zack Snyder's problem. But the way I figure it, that Superman, the sequel to this is probably going to be better because that whole origin baggage has been taken care of.
Yeah, but
so.
But if there is any line in the movie other than "I will find him," that I hate, it's "Welcome to the Planet." I hate it. It was stupid. It was stupid. It wasn't fucking clever. And, oh yeah, one other thing. Characters in this movie act stupidly. You know, Lois just finds herself everywhere, which a lot of people are complaining about. Like, why is Lois here and here and here and here? And what was the reason for her to be on the fucking ship? And you're like, why? Like, if you're trying to contemporize Lois Lane, which you know that's what he was trying to do. You know, he was trying to get away from the Lois that's like, Clark takes off the glasses. Oh, it's Superman, puts the glasses back on. Hey, Clark, where does Superman go? He's trying to get rid of that Lois Lane. All right, fine. You can contemporize Lois if you really, really want to. But if that's the fucking case, then why is she still fucking Daphne Blake? Why is she still fucking danger prone, like all over the goddamn place, showing up in places where it's like you realize that She, the contemporary Lois Lane, must know that she's absolutely useless in this scenario. So why would she go?
Because her inquisitive mind demands it.
Bullshit.
Her journalism ovaries are tingling.
Bullshit. Bullshit, okay? Like, my journalism sense is tingling. You can eat a dick, because you want to know what? You barely ever see her put finger to iPad or fucking pen to paper through the whole goddamn movie. It's just her looking like, oh, Superman, except it's not oh, Superman, it's oh, Clark, and then it's oh, Superman. And it's this whole thing where it's like, let's just throw away the whole idea that there's a duplicity in the relationship between Lois Lane, Superman, and Clark Kent, where Lois loves Superman but doesn't really like Clark Kent all that much. Let's just throw all that out. Why not?
Why not? And you know what? Through the first half of the movie, she was fine. She was investigating a disturbance up in the Arctic Circle, and the military's involved in it. That's when she's like, okay, there's probably something here. My problem with that scene is like, why the fuck is Clark here? It's like, he managed to get that job being like some excavation worker in the Arctic Circle?
Yeah, where the fuck was the job posting for that? How did he get there?
And how did he? Well, we know how, the physically, but we just don't know, like, how did he convince anyone's like, yeah, I can help.
Yeah, it's like, really? What did you do? Like, well, I worked on a fishing boat for a while. So you ever you ever seen Deadliest Catch? And they were like, yeah, man.
It's like, yeah, I do that shit for a living. Oh, dude.
Shit, we need you. You know?
You're used to cold and danger.
Seriously. So,
but in that process of Lois finding out about Clark and where he came from and following leads, that was good too.
But the whole world, I have a problem with the whole fucking world being set up to find, like, pretty much set up for the convenience of Lois Lane figuring out who Clark Kent is before he becomes Superman. That's just nuts. And my friend who I went with actually went so far as to go, like, how would he know how much power to use to cauterize a wound? Good point. Good point. Good point, Max. You're right. You're right. Because the dude never gets cut. He never gets cut. And I hate this, that Gillette had this whole thing about, like, how does Superman shave? Like, we already fucking know how he shaves. He fucking stares in the mirror and heat visions his goddamn hair off.
Bam!
But that's not cauterizing a wound. That's him going, like, full fucking heat blast and then burning his hair off. Closest fucking shave ever. But...
I'm amazed it grows back.
But still, you know, like... I would say that it's his healing that allows it to grow back, because you're probably right that it, like, each one of those hairs burns like a fuse right down to the root. But male pattern baldness is never going to be a problem that Superman has.
Although I would kill to see the male pattern baldness Superman.
God, I'd be fucked up.
He looks like Bill from King of the Hill.
Oh my God, Bill Dautry. But, you know, like my friend Max is right. How the shit does he know how much power to use to cauterize her wound? And because it's not like she can gauge, it's not like he can gauge it by how much she's screaming, because pretty much, I don't know if you've ever cauterized a wound before, but that shit hurts a lot. No matter how small the fucking wound is, you're creating fucking scar tissue. It hurts.
It really hurts. And I hate using this logic, because I'm of the mindset that says if it happened in a movie, you show it. Okay? Because if you try to logicize what's happening in a movie by shit that doesn't happen in the movie, but assumes the audience will assume it, then anything can happen. But the only defense I could say for that is, like, well, maybe in a previous job, something like that happened.
Maybe. Possibly.
Because he does go to...
He goes through all the trouble of, like, using the X-ray vision on her. And I get that, I guess. But still, it just, like, it seems, like, really fucking dangerous. And it was just really fucking stupid. And it was just a fucking Florence Nightingale moment. You know? And I wasn't really on board with that.
If there was a weak link throughout this movie, it is definitely the Lois Lane character, at least through the second half of the story.
And I think what kills me the most is that seeing Lawrence Fishburne fat.
Oh.
As you're just kind of like, what happened to Morpheus, man? Like, what happened? Like, he was great for what he was given. I mean, you know, you're used to Perry White being white, but you know, he was given some solid, you know, fatherly dialogue to try and guide Lois, the fucking renegade Pulitzer Prize winning fucking reporter.
And who dropped that factoid like a brick.
Yeah, I know. Every single time, right on her desk, Pulitzer.
Like, Pulitzer. You think she has it, like, chained around her neck?
You're like, Pulitzer, bitch! Yeah, you know.
G-Unit!
P-Unit! But, yeah, every time, always drop the bomb. Fucking Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, Lois Lane. Oh, God. But, yeah, Lawrence Fishburne was all right. Although, it was kind of weird seeing, like, actors from Dollhouse all over this movie. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, but yeah,
Zack Snyder, you're getting into some creepy Nolan territory here.
No fucking kidding, with Nolan in the background is going good, good. You know, it's like, fucking damn it. So yeah, that's Man of Steel. I didn't like it. Bennett's not bothered by it, which, you know what? I'll say this in closing. That's your right. It is your right to not be bothered by it. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by saying, well, you're just a part of the main fucking audience that this movie was intended for. It wasn't really meant for comic book fans. It was only kind of meant to nod to comic book fans, not shake their hand and tickle their asshole. It is your right to say that this movie didn't bother you so much. But me, personally, when I'm thinking about a movie that is meant to reboot the franchise, meant to be a movie that Warner Brothers is banking on to make them bank like fucking Marvel's Phase 1 made them bank... I say that they could have done better. They could have had a better fucking director. Or maybe they should have just had Zack Snyder be assistant director. Or maybe they should have had more competent writers. Or maybe all of these things all at once.
Well, this is making Warner Brothers bank. It's already made $200 million.
I know. The train is on the tracks now. It can't be fucking derailed. It's over.
And the sequel's already been fast-tracked.
It's two more movies, man. And that fucking sucks.
It's going to be Superman 2 and Justice League.
Yep. So say hello to your new Batman, kids, whoever the fuck that is, because Bale sure as shit ain't going to do it.
I don't even know who would be Batman. I guess I got so used to the idea of Christian Bale being Batman that it just never occurred to me.
Well, Bale is the Batman nobody saw coming, but I mean, who seriously would you get to be fucking Batman? It's not going to be some pretty boy actor like Bale. It's not going to be Matt Damon as fucking Batman. And I would really hope that it's not Ben Affleck as Batman either.
Not after Daredevil.
No. But, like, I mean...
And it's not going to be, like, J. Gordon Levitt, as many of the fans wanted.
No. Fuck no. Fuck him. Honestly, like, the formula of Superman is get an actor that nobody knows, so that way you can separate the actor from the character. And that's always worked. But that hasn't been the case with Batman. Batman has always been about stunt casting. So
George Clooney.
Clooney, Kilmer, Keaton, Kilmer, Bale.
Bale, yeah.
Like that.
Adam West.
Adam West. It's always, like, Batman's always been about stunt casting. Get a name big enough to compensate for the fact that the character doesn't have superpowers and therefore inherently shouldn't be that interesting. But then you kind of have to go through your Rolodex of popular names and, like, who the fuck would be Batman? He has to be a guy who's in his mid to late 30s, and he's got to be a guy who looks good in the cowl and looks good as fucking Bruce Wayne, because Kilmer looked good in the Batsuit, but he was too pretty to be Bruce Wayne. Clooney looked perfect as Bruce Wayne, but he looked like shit in the Batsuit. Keaton didn't look like fucking Bruce Wayne at all, and he looked like shit in the Batsuit, but he was just such a phenomenal actor that you just believed it. And ultimately, you know, fucking Bale just kind of hit the middle of the road.
Which, if push comes to shove, I'll let slide. Yeah. I mean, that's why he is my number one Batman.
Because I still say nothing touches Keaton. And that's not nostalgia. That's just, you can't take a dude with a fucking Jufro, call him Bruce Wayne and Batman, make him, like, put him in a bat suit, which doesn't look fantastic, but still looked better than Joel Schumacher's bat suit. Fucking nipples on the bat suit. But he overcame something much. He overcame a character far greater than him. You know, that role was bigger than he was, and he still managed to, like, you still watch the original Batman, and you're like, fucking yeah, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, you know?
Well, if you're getting angry at that Tim Burton Batman, you know, for killing characters that normally those characters don't kill. You know how many henchmen Batman just killed in the first Batman?
Yeah, but that's just because it's fucking Tim Burton. It's not about the movie Batman. It's about Michael Keaton being Batman.
And I'll say that Michael Keaton did not have the physical presence.
No, he didn't.
He did not have the physical presence as Batman. It was only through Tim Burton's competent direction at the time that they were able to frame Batman as an intimidating figure. But whenever there's long shots of Batman where you could see him from head to toe,
no,
he does not look the least bit threatening.
You could seriously have molded the bat suit out of fucking Schwarzenegger in his prime, and he still wouldn't have looked the part.
He still wouldn't have looked the part. And that's where Christian Bale's Batman wins out, because he looks intimidating. As Batman.
He does look intimidating, and the fucking Batsuit being armor didn't really hurt either. But then it comes back to the solid point. Who the shit becomes Batman? It's not going to be Tom Hardy, even though Hollywood seems to love fucking Tom Hardy right now, because Tom Hardy's just too pretty.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's why he had to be Bane. It just needed to be a mask over a pretty boy's face.
And just so we're clear, Warner Brothers, not Guy Pearce.
Please no.
Please fucking not Guy Pearce. Actually, no, wait. No, I take it back. Because I'm thinking about Lockout. and how funny he was in Lockout. I liked Lockout. I don't care what any of you fucks say. Maybe Guy Pearce, if you don't try and put him in stupid makeup that makes him trying to make him look ugly. Because that's the problem. They don't try and make Guy Pearce look ugly in fucking Lockout, and he's amazing, and he's punching chicks in the face. it's just hilarious.
There has been a male-on-female violent scene that was as funny in Lockout since The Wicker Man.
True.
Where Nick Cage is just, like, hates women in that movie. Oh, God, does he hate them.
It's like when he's just like, you gotta look the part. It's okay. Shh, it's okay. I just fucking died. I was like, oh my God, I need to watch that again and rewind it. So
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm not gonna hurt you.
That's okay. It's just one time. So you know what? Maybe, like, since Pierce has proven that he has comedic timing and that he can play smarmy, and you know, Bruce Wayne's gotta be, because that's what I always kind of felt that Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne was missing, was smarm. But Guy Pearce has smarminess.
Well, I don't think he can't play smarmy. I think the script didn't call for smarmy.
Yeah.
So
he was just kind of like, he was a little too Tony Stark in terms of like being drunk Tony Stark. Like, oh, nobody takes old Bruce seriously. He's constantly in the bag. But you know what? If you let Guy Pearce just have it and just say, because I can't think of anybody else at this point. Let fucking Pearce have it, because he's got the look. He's got a strong enough jaw that the fucking cowl will look really good on him, where you don't have to mold the cowl to his fucking face. Because that was the only fucking thing I hated about the Batsuit in Batman Begins. it was the fact that the cowl goes all the way around his face and has this really weird, stupid opening. I just hated that. I've always hated that. It's just like, just top of the head. Top of the head, maybe sides of the face. That's it. Not all the way around his fucking head.
How does he turn his head?
Yeah, he does.
If it's supposed to be protective ceramic, you know, fuck you material.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I love how they decided to rectify that in the second movie, because Bale wouldn't stop complaining about it. So
he wants to be able to turn his head.
Yeah. Like, okay, more pliable material. It does mean that if somebody tries to take your head off with a sword, it's gonna happen. So, fuck you, Bruce. But yeah, just give it to Pierce. Like, if anybody on the face of the earth, because it's not like Pierce is tied to any singular franchise now. He hasn't been tied to any singular franchise, period. He's just been like, oh, I was in Prometheus and I looked really stupid, and I was in Iron Man 3 and I looked really stupid. So yeah, give it to Guy Pierce. Guy Pierce for Batman.
I love how you went a complete 180.
Because I had to think about it. I genuinely, like, my brain said, like, not Guy Pierce, because Guy Pierce is saturated a little bit right now. And then I went, but there's nobody better. Like, I mean, if you want somebody who, because I said it before, not on the show, I don't think, but I remember I had said that, don't you think that Guy Pearce is just the new Val Kilmer, the way he smiles and the way that he fucking gestures and shit like that? And then I think about it and I go, yeah, no, he's got that Kilmer kind of look, which means that he'll look good in the bat suit, but he's smarmy, so he'll be really good as fucking Bruce Wayne. So yeah, that's it. The fucking, my vote, Pierce for Batman. Man of Steel sucks. I'll be happy to see Guy Pearce spy on Henry Cavill in a world's finest movie. World's finest movie, not a fucking Justice League movie. You gotta fucking crawl before you can walk, Warner Brothers. Fuck off.
So you want a Superman Batman?
Dude, world's finest is the easiest fucking thing on earth. Lex Luthor and the Joker. Bang! Done.
Boom!
It's that fucking simple. You don't need a cast of thousands. You don't have to worry about casting six different fucking heroes. You only have to cast one. That's it. And it would work. World's Finest as a movie would work perfectly fine.
As most DC discussions go, we started with Superman and we ended with Batman. But until next time we open the tool shed, I'm Bennett the Sage. That was Mark the Engineer. So long.